Hey, you want that to go?
Our first news takeout takes us back to the State of the Union address last night, where presidents typically are talking directly to Congress. But last night, Obama had a message for the Supreme Court.
With all due deference to separation of powers, last week the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections.
So, Todd Zwillick, did the Supreme Court have much of a reaction to the president seeming to criticize that decision?
There actually was a little bit of a reaction, which in itself was strange. It's rare for presidents ever in a State of the Union to directly criticize the court. Don't forget, in the room, members of the Supreme Court sit right up front, front and center, right in front of the president. And they usually sit stone-faced. Here the president took it right to the court on this campaign finance decision, and Justice Sam Alito was seen by reporters in the press gallery looking down on him. His head snapped back and he winced his eyes and he said two times to himself, "That's not true. That's just not true," to what the president said. Sort of a, not quite a you lie moment, but certainly a you lie light, you know, challenging the veracity of the president while he's on the dais. To himself, though, he didn't yell it.
Well, is this a C-SPAN trivia question or is this a serious breaking of decorum?
I don't know about a serious breaking of decorum. It might be the former, John, and it's certainly a State of the Union watcher, court watcher moment. I have never seen a president criticize the court while the court sits there. There were six members of the court sitting in front of him last night. I've never seen anything like that. And as soon as, you know, you're reading the transcript, and as soon as the president starts to take it to the court like that, you're staring at the court to see their reactions. And they're like statues. They're like gargoyles, just no movement, no face. And it was like Justice Alito, in the end, couldn't help himself. And the dam broke, and he just sit his head back and said, "Not true, not true."
Well, we'll see what the fallout, if there is any, from this. And we should remind people there's a key vote on Ben Bernanke at the Federal Reserve today. Right, Todd?
Test vote, yeah. Okay. He needs 60 today.
Thanks so much. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick.
Let's move on to the auto industry with Paul Eisenstein. He's the publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with Ford today, right, as they posted their first profitable year since 2005?
Yeah, big numbers from them, and it reflects the fact that Ford just has momentum everywhere they go. Their quality's up. Their product reviews are up. They've brought their costs down, so they're in a very good shape.
But on the other side of that coin would be Toyota,
mm-hmm.
which is not so much rising as
Toyota
falling.
Toyota seems to be sinking pretty fast.
What these new recalls of five vehicles, yesterday they stopped production of eight of their most popular models. This is a recall of five other vehicles as well.
Well, they're recalling eight vehicles. They're closing five plants. They've stopped sales of eight vehicles, some of the most popular models, including the Camry and the RAV4 and the Tundra. And we're not clear exactly when they're going to put them back on sale or begin production again because of this problem with sticky accelerators, which complicates a recall that they had last October for supposedly carpets that can jam accelerators.
Yeah, well, we had red flags on this as early as 2004. What took so long?
That's the big question that everybody is asking. Why has Toyota taken this long? The recall last year happened shortly after a California trooper was killed in a fiery crash, got a lot of headlines, and the feds just continued to press them for more. And in fact, as you and I discussed barely a month ago, there's another possible problem occurring where the brakes on Toyota Priuses are under suspect.
Okay, we're going to have to keep our eye on Toyota. That's Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the DetroitBureau.com.
Paul will be watching it, that's for sure.
Yes,
and driving all the cars. That's right, exactly. Louise Story, our finance reporter for the New York Times, has our last takeout this morning. We referred to Ben Bernanke's vote, whether he will be reconfirmed. It's expected he will be reconfirmed at the Fed. But the big announcement yesterday was kind of a relief for the markets. The Fed decides to leave interest rates where they are for the time being. Why is it a relief?
Well, you know, once you raise interest rates, the cost of borrowing throughout the entire economy go up. What the Fed sets is called the target federal funds rate, and it's been down near zero since December 2008. A lot of economists were expecting them to keep it where it was. Nonetheless, if they had increased it, you know, it would have been maybe hard in the housing market. And that's the thing to pay attention with the Fed right now is the Fed and housing, because whatever they do with interest rates will affect your mortgage rate or your possibility of buying a home. And the other thing the Fed has going on, and we've talked about it before, is this giant program where they have been buying mortgage bonds out of the market.
Right.
That has been pushing rates down on mortgages as well. They're still planning, they said yesterday, they're still planning to end that program at the end of March. And so that could drive mortgage rates up. And this is coming. I don't know if you saw, but yesterday also there was new housing data that showed in December we had drops in housing sales again. So this is coming while we're still in a pretty tentative, precarious place in the housing market.
Well, I know you always kind of break into a rash when I try to push you into speculative analytical zones, but are we seeing the Fed hamstrung here, kind of backed into a corner? They only have a lever that is negative. They don't have much leverage positively.
Well, there is not that much more they could do. They could extend this mortgage-backed security, this bond buying program beyond March, but they have been telling us meeting after meeting they're not going to do that. You had one dissenter yesterday. You know, they have this whole group of people who vote on this, who vote on interest rates, and one person from the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank thinks they should go on and raise interest rates because he's concerned about inflation. But if the housing market stays down in the gutter where it looks like it's staying, I'm not sure what else the Fed will do. And so that is a conundrum for them. And if Ben Bernanke gets reconfirmed, housing will stay on his agenda.
Mm-hmm. And the other real trigger there is inflation. And so far, inflation, no bad news.
Seems okay.
All right, Louise Story, finance reporter for The New York Times. That's your last takeout. But all this morning, we're looking for what you thought of the president's State of the Union address. Give us your take. Did he say what you wanted to hear? More of the same? And where were your takeaway moments in the speech? Call us with yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it on thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we'll find out what Republican Eric Cantor thought of the speech. He's the House Republican whip. And he joins us in a few minutes. So, ouch.